And we're back with What's Ailing America, where the answer today is antibiotic-resistant stealth organisms. And this is going to lead me into a subject pretty much revolving around mycoplasma and Lyme's disease. Now, mycoplasma is a very special organism because it has no cell wall. So it does not evoke an antibody response. And that is why, as they're spraying it on us in chemtrails and shooting it up, especially into the soldiers and vaccinations, it's causing various serious problems. Because these organisms that they're tweaking are, of course, much more virulent, i.e. much more able to cause problems, and especially in our toxic bodies with all the vaccine toxins that are injected and the poison water and the poison air, et cetera, as I discussed in the first hour of the show, our bodies just can't handle all of these assaults. So the mycoplasma is especially a bad one. And what the cell wall is on an organism, of course, viruses are even smaller than mycoplasmas. They don't have cell walls either, but I'm not going to talk about viruses today. The bacteria, the way that they are identified, when they do cultures and they look at them under a microscope, they do something called a Gram stain. And the bacteria pretty much are divided into two categories based on that. Bacteria that stain positive, and they're called gram-positive, or bacteria that stain negative, and they're called gram-negative. And that divides them up into types of bacteria, and then they also look at their shapes. Are they round? Are they rod-shaped, et cetera, et cetera? But the cell wall of the bacteria is what causes it to stain with a gram stain, but most importantly, it's also what your immune system sees and what allows your immune system to provoke an antibody response to make an antibody against this bacteria, which then calls in the T cells that are the little Pac-Man cells that are then going to go after those antibody-coated bacteria. So the cell wall is a very important thing. Now, Lyme's is a special kind of bacteria. It's actually called a spirochete. Like syphilis, it's in the same family as syphilis. And what it does have a cell wall, but what happens is once you take the antibiotics, it sheds its cell wall and develops into something called an L form. And I actually learned about this in medical school, amazingly enough. Of course, once we get out of medical school, we just forget everything we learned because they do have to tell us some truth in there, and we just start, you know, prescribing drugs and don't even think about these things again. If the L form is created from a gram negative, it's called a spiroblast. And if it's created from a gram positive organism, it's called a protoplast. And as I said, the antibiotics act on the cell wall. So once they lose the cell wall, the antibiotics have no effect on them. And this is why they're stealth forms. In other words, they can hide in your body. And that's exactly what they do. Now, actually, mycoplasmas have been around for a long time, if you can believe what they tell us. I learned in medical school that they're actually ancient organisms. There was supposedly something called thermoplasms, which actually came out of volcanoes and allegedly are heat and acid resistant. And, of course, we have our mad scientists tweaking the mycoplasms as well. And this brings us into Gulf War syndrome. So apparently what these mad scientists do is they look all over the world for any kind of germ they can find, and they weaponize it. They make it into something that's going to be much more difficult for the body to fight. And in terms of that, I will read to you from a United States patent, number 5,242,820, dated September 7th, 1993, for pathogenic mycoplasma. The inventor is Dr. Xinqing Lo from the American Registry of Pathology in Washington, D.C. Okay, I hear the music. I'll continue this discussion on the other side. Stay tuned. And we're back with What's Ailing America, where our answer today is antibiotic-created stealth organisms. And before the break, I was talking about something called mycoplasma. As I said, folks, I have a copy of this patent in front of me. This pathogenic mycoplasma that's being referred to as an invention, what does that tell you, folks? They invented it. The invention, and I quote, further relates to a variety of different forms of vaccines. Now, they say against mycoplasma infection, but of course they're using the vaccines to inject the mycoplasma. And this particular mycoplasma is called Mycoplasma incognitus. Aren't they cute? Incognitus. What does incognito mean? Concealing one's identity. Now, as I explained to you, the mycoplasma is bad enough because it has no cell wall. It does not elicit an antibody response. It's pretty much hidden to the immune system to begin with. So they're going to take this pathogenic mycoplasma that has no cell wall, that can pretty much go all over the body and hide in your joints in all different areas, and the immune system can't see it, and they're going to further make it incognito. And I want to now explain the difference to you between Gulf War syndrome and Gulf War plague, because this gets very confusing. Mycoplasma incognitus is what is known as the Gulf War plague. They're injecting this into soldiers and vaccinations. How can this possibly be an accident? As a matter of fact, I actually have a document of a study done in Huntsville Prison in Texas, where they first experimented on the prisoners with the injection of this lethal organism. And what happened in the prison? Well, the prisoners spread it to the guards, to the doctors that were taking care of them. The guards and the doctors went home and spread it to their families, even to their pets. And this is the transmissible part of the Gulf War syndrome, called the Gulf War plague. The Gulf War syndrome has many other aspects to it as well. You have depleted uranium. You have aspartame given to the soldiers in their beverages. You have pyridostigmine pills. They're doing so much experimentation on the soldiers, it's just disgusting. And why are they doing this to the soldiers? Well, the soldiers took an oath to protect the Constitution and to protect America from terrorists within and without. And you see, after they go over to these fake wars, they may start to wonder, who are the terrorists? Just imagine if they came back here and said, you know what, we have to protect our country, what would happen? So, of course, by making them very, very sick, and I am here to tell you that there are more soldiers dying from their inoculations than are even dying from gunfire, and I know that to be a fact. So this is what they're doing to the soldiers, and, of course, it's very convenient when they come back if they don't last too long, because then they don't get their veterans' benefits, and we all know how much they put the veterans through just to get any disabilities anyways. There's so many homeless veterans, people on the street, after, quote-unquote, serving our country. You know, it gets kind of obvious that there's a very sinister agenda afoot once you really are willing to see truth for yourself. And as I always say, don't believe me, check these things out for yourself, folks. You can check these things out. The Internet is a wonderful thing, not so you can believe anything, everything on there either. But certainly you can use your discernment to figure out who's telling you the truth. So we have the Gulf War plague being caused by this mycoplasma injected into the soldiers. But it's very obvious to me that they're also spraying it on us in chemtrails, because every child I deal with has mycoplasma. And although they could be putting it in the children's vaccines as well, that's very possible, I think that they're also spraying it on us in the chemtrails. So this is what our government is doing to us. So, as I said, the mycoplasma cannot evoke an immune response. So you have that in your body. And luckily, there's homeopathic remedies that can detox that. But this Lyme's disease, this is where the intention becomes just as obvious as finding a patent for this mycoplasma incognitus. Because, as it turns out, the Lyme's disease just appeared out of the clear blue sky. You know, there really was no such thing. And to learn more about this, I refer you to a very important book called Lab 257, The Disturbing Story of the Government's Secret Plum Island Germ Laboratory by Michael Christopher Carroll. Now, what's especially interesting in this book is page, 219, chapter 14, where he talks about the homeland. And he talks about something called, Dr. David Huxell, who was appointed as Plum Island's director in June 2000 at the age of 65. Now, as it turns out, after the 1991 Persian Gulf War, this Huxell had served on three UN biological warfare inspection teams in Iraq, leading two of them. And this is what Mr. Huxell said, and I quote, "The plant that would produce biological agents for weapons purposes may not look too much different from the plant that produces biological agents for vaccines. Chemical agents are another story. Chemical agents have what is called a large signature, while biological facilities have a far smaller footprint. If you're going to dump chemical agents on a significant portion of Long Island," he uses that for an example because Plum Island is off Long Island, "you would have to have tons of the stuff. Now, in the case of biological agents, you can measure what you need for the same area on Long Island in kilograms, not tons. That's because you can disseminate them in an aerosol, like with chemtrails. And if you're good at this, you can spread it over a long distance." Now, this is very important because Plum Island is, as I said, right across from Long Island, and there's something called the Long Island Sound that's between this area and Limes, Connecticut. And Limes, Connecticut is the first place where the Limes spirochete was found. And as it turns out in this excellent book, Lab 257, Mr. Carroll explains how it's quite obvious that the Limes epidemic we have now, because it's spread all over the country and it's even in other countries as well, came from Plum Island. How did it come from Plum Island? Well, I encourage you to read the book to find what Mr. Carroll came up with in his investigation, because I don't have time to get into all of that. But you see, what happens with Lyme's disease is because it does have a cell wall and you give antibiotics, the Lyme's spirochete actually loses its cell wall and becomes one of these L forms. Now, once it becomes one of these L forms, the infection actually goes deeper into the body, especially when you're acidic. And what do the white coats do for Lyme's disease? Well, they give antibiotics. And they've even gone after a few white coats who were given antibiotics for a long period of time for Lyme's disease. What they do is do something called pulse therapy, where they give them for a month or so, and then they take you off the antibiotics, and then they put you back on the antibiotics. Now, I don't know of any white coat that's lost their license for doing this, but there was a doctor in Long Island that I knew who they went after because he was given this pulse therapy. Because, of course, by pretending to go after him, they make people think, oh, he must be doing the right thing. Antibiotics must be the answer. Well, I'm here to tell you that antibiotics not only are not the answer, but what happens when you develop these L forms is that they go deeper into the body. People often have simultaneous infections with other things like mycoplasma, something called babesiosis. There's all kinds of germs there, you know, like to hang on. Interestingly, my phone just went dead. Somebody doesn't like this information, so let me continue. So as I said, what's happening is they're giving these antibiotics to people with Lyme's disease. They're not only causing systemic fungal infections and yeast infections in the body due to wiping out the organisms in your body that are supposed to be there, especially in your GI tract, but they're also causing the formation of these L forms that are getting buried deeper into your body and are going to come back with a vengeance later on once you go off the antibiotics, because these L forms are actually able to get their cell wall back, not to mention the fact that they're going to be developing antibiotic resistance from those other ways the bacteria work that I was describing in the first part of the show. So we have all of these things going on. The Lyme's spirochete is becoming more resistant. They're giving you more antibiotics. It's losing its L form again. So So basically what they're doing with this pulse antibiotic therapy is creating a super Lyme's spirochete. Not to mention the fact that, as I said, some of the bacteria will be killed by the antibiotics. And what happens when that occurs is oftentimes people get something called a Herxheimer reaction. And this is when the bacteria are killed, toxins are released, and this causes a severe inflammation called a Herxheimer reaction. And what do the white coats do when that occurs? Why, they put you on steroids. What do steroids do? Oh, steroids do so many bad things. I'll have to do a show just on steroids someday. But one of the worst things they do is suppress your immune system and cause adrenal insufficiency. Okay, I hear the music. We'll be back after the break. This is very strange, folks. My phone went dead again, and the board operator was not able to get through to me until now, and I wasn't able to get through. I get a constant busy sign signal no matter what number I call on RBN. So let me continue, because this is obviously very important. So I was talking about the stealth organism caused by the L form of the Lyme spirochete. Now, I want to also tell you another reason that this is important is because Once you've developed an L form, which has no cell wall, as I explained, not only are you not going to be able to respond to antibiotics, because, as I said, antibiotics will kill some of them, but they're going to also cause bacterial resistance and all kinds of other things, but you're also not going to have a positive Lyme's test, because the Lyme's test uses antibodies against the flagella, which is the tail of the spirochete. I have so many people that contact me who tell me that they've been told they have a negative Lyme's test. And one of the main reasons they're having a negative Lyme test, well, first of all, many of these tests don't work. They're not sensitive enough. But also, if you've been on antibiotics and your Lyme spirochete is in its L-form stage, you're not going to test positive for it anyways. So I have so many people that tell me that they're told by the white coat that they don't have Lyme disease. Well, guess what, folks? If you were bitten by a tick, and especially if you live on Long Island, but as I said, it's spread throughout the whole country now, and you develop a bullseye rash and you get a fever and you have like arthralgia, joint pain problems and things of that nature, you have Lyme disease no matter what the white coat tells you. As it turns out, the best test for Lyme's is something called dark field microscopy. And dark field microscopy is a term that was mentioned in medical school as the best technique to diagnose spirochetes, which, as I said, also includes syphilis. But once that was mentioned, we never heard about it again. There's no hospital in this country that uses dark field microscopy. You can have dark field microscopy done through, quote-unquote, alternative practitioners. It's also called live blood cell analysis. And because of the technique that's used to examine the live blood, you actually have your finger pricked and they put a drop of your blood on the slide and they look at it under the special lens that's called dark field, and they can actually see these little spirochetes in your blood. So you'd be much better off going to one of those type of practitioners than you would going to a white coat to get one of these antibody tests. But of course, the medical mafia goes after those people as well. As a matter of fact, the person that I go to, they tried to put her in jail. Okay, I hear another break. Hopefully I'll be back. Stay tuned, folks. And we're back with What's Ailing America, where my answer today is antibiotic-created stealth organisms. And we have a caller on the line. I'll get to you in a minute. I just want to finish what I was saying. So the best test for Lyme's disease, if you feel you need to be tested, as I said, what I would do if I was you, because I don't give medical advice, is dark field microscopy. And the good news is, as I said, that there are homeopathic remedies that can be given which will actually push this organism out of your body. What homeopathics do is they work on the energy level, which is where all disease starts, and they stimulate the body's own healing energy like a tuning fork that sets the disharmonious chords back on track. And the body works on the energy level to start pushing the toxins or the organisms out. So the huge difference between vaccines and homeopathic nosodes is that nosodes do not have the actual toxin in them. With vaccines, they're actually injecting you with the organism. And that brings me to the Lymerix vaccine, which was a vaccination created for Lyme's disease. The only problem, of course, was that they had to discontinue it because it caused the same symptoms of the Lyme infection. In other words, the bullseye rash, the fever, the arthralgias, etc. And I've had many clients tell me that the white coats told them that there's no way they could have the Lyme's disease as they got injected with the Lymerix vaccine. It's so sad how insane my profession has gone, folks. I'm so ashamed of them, because many of them have to realize what I now realize, and that is what these vaccines are doing. And I lastly just want to mention the problems with IV antibiotics, because as I stated, when they use IV antibiotics to treat these infections, especially something called like Lyme's disease, they have to put it into a central vein, which is a vein, the one that they mostly use is subclavian vein, which means they have to insert a catheter underneath your clavicle, your collarbone. Of course, if they don't know what they're doing, I had to do this a lot when I was a surgeon, what they're going to do if there's a problem and they misdirect the tip of the needle, this huge needle that they use for this procedure, is that they're going to puncture your lung. And then you're going to get something called a pneumothorax, where your lung pops like a balloon, and then they're going to have to put a chest tube into your thorax, your chest cavity, to create negative pressure to re-expand your lung. And sometimes that doesn't even work. And they have to stick sclerosing agents into your lung to make scar tissue so that the lung will hold up against the side of the inside of the chest cavity. You can also get allergies against the catheters themselves, especially if you've had vaccines, because you develop latex allergies. And, of course, when you have a catheter into your main vein in your upper torso, the subclavian vein, there's a very severe chance that you are going to get other germs introduced into the catheter, because the nurses, half the time, they don't wash their hands, and they're hooking you up to the antibiotics, and, of course, they're injecting other germs by that mechanism. So this is a horror show, folks, and this is what's going on. People are fighting for their right to get IV antibiotics for Lyme's disease. I hope you get the picture of what they're actually doing to themselves after hearing what I said. Okay, one of my favorite people's on the line, Pat Jordan from Illinois, who's been a guest on my show himself, a vaccine researcher par excellence, and we're going to be doing a book together himself and Dr. Patricia Jordan and myself, which is going to be the vaccine book of all times, and hopefully we'll have that done within a couple of months. Are you there, Patrick?
I'm there, Doc.
Hello.
You're my favorite people, too. Hey, I would like to pick up on some points and go backwards from your topic today.
Sure.
When I was studying malaria vaccines, I had come across just a really obscure reference that pulse therapy, the thing that you're referring to for antibiotics, pulse therapy was used for HIV treatment, and that particular mechanism is what created HIV-2.
Wow.
So everything they do is wrong. You can just be guaranteed that whatever they're doing, it's going to have the opposite effect.
Exactly, because they know that these antibiotics cause all kinds of mutations and resistance of these organisms, and this is how they're creating the superbugs.
And as to the actual mechanisms of creating superbugs, I would like to put a plug in for your book that if people want to know how that happens, I'm not going to reveal it here because I've been working on this for 30 years, it's going to be in your book.
Our
book. We can demonstrate exactly how they're doing this. And what I'm trying to say is this is not necessarily a natural process. You aren't getting natural infections and things aren't going naturally bad. These things, I call them satanic pet organisms. They have held on to a group, and mostly the clostridial group of bacteria, because they work so well for them.
Yes. Well, that's why we know that much of this is being done intentionally, especially when you find out that there's a patent for Mycoplasma incognitus. How dare these people create these organisms, just like the bird flu is being weaponized by these insane groups from the Army Pathology Institute in Washington going to Alaska. And this was even admitted in the paper that they went to Alaska, and Dr. True Ott talked about this on my show with him on Saturday a couple weeks ago. You got to listen to that bird flu show, folks. That they actually dug up these dead bodies, and they came back here, and they figured out the entire genetic sequence. Why are they doing these things? What good can possibly come out of this? None. None. And this is what people have to stand up and say, what is going on here? And in terms of the malaria vaccine, Patrick, I just have to mention, when I read about this, as any of you that listen to me on a regular basis know, one of my hard questions is, I always tell people to ask their white coats, is that if standing water is bad in my property because it gives breeding grounds to mosquitoes, and we don't want to have mosquitoes being produced and then they're going to sting us with that little proboscis and inject us with viruses, when I found out, and this is going to be posted on my website soon, that Bill Gates is actually galvanizing an anti-malaria campaign, he's giving $168 million to develop the next generation malaria vaccine. So So I am so excited. One of my clients, actually, by the name of Omnia, I have been looking for years for somebody to draw me a political cartoon. It should be up on my website within a week, which basically shows a white-coated mosquito, and this is what the mosquito is saying to the mom. It's magic. Injection of malaria by hypodermic protects rather than infects you. Just roll up your sleeve. And this is what's going to really help wake up a lot of people. Because that's what you have to ask your white coats folks. What magic happens when you take these viruses or parasites, as malaria is, and stick it in a bottle and add your formaldehyde, aluminum, mercury, the other, you know, rest of the toxic witch's brew? What makes it a good thing? Please explain that, and that will send them to the bathroom.
Well, I wanted to, you had mentioned patents. I want to see your patent, and I want to raise it another one. And this is how we can demonstrate to the world that we're not making this stuff up. Patent number 6,579,854 talks about chlamydia, which does exactly what you're talking about. There is an intracellular form of chlamydia that is not recognized by the body.
By the immune system, exactly.
Exactly. And so what they have done, they've come up with a 5 or 6 drug cocktail that's highly toxic, and that's part of the patent to treat this, because it's hiding inside the human cells, and only until it expresses itself as a fully cell-form organism can it even be addressed. So they're trying to invent drugs that kill it inside the cell, but you and I both know that the only way to do that is with cytotoxic drugs. So in effect, we've got the AIDS things all over again, where you're actually killing the host's own cell to get at the organism.
Well, not only that, but you also then have to realize that in order to create these much more virulent, i.e. disease-causing organisms, they have to tweak them in a laboratory. So they have to create the mad scientist version of these organisms that sometimes existed and sometimes didn't, as is the case with the HIV virus. They have to create them first, and then they make the treatment for it, and then they patent the whole shebang. And that's what they're doing.
So they make money both ways.
Well, not only do they make money, but we always talk about the depopulation agenda.
Exactly.
I encourage all of you to put Henry Kissinger and Memorandum 200, put those two things together into Google, and you will actually come across this memorandum where Henry Kissinger, one of the most evil people on the planet, actually talks about depopulation being a national security issue. So this is one of the very big parts of what they're doing. And I know this is ugly, people. You don't want to believe me. That's why I'm saying check things out for yourself. This is what's going to bring you to the next level. As the minions that were on the debate last night, I thought I was going to throw up. Barack Obama wants to force us to all have health care. We're all going to have to get health insurance. Now, of course, once you get health insurance, in order for that to be useful to you, and in order for you to do what the white coats tell you, you're going to have to start getting mammograms and colonoscopies and all these procedures that have so many side effects. And then when they find something and they want to, quote-unquote, treat you or manage your disease, if you don't do it, they may get a psych consult on you. I had a client with breast cancer that told her white coat she wanted to do, quote-unquote, natural therapies, and he ordered a psych consult on her. And especially if you have a child and you're told that they need some kind of medical treatment and you don't do what the white coat tells you, the next thing you know, they're calling the Department of Social Services. So it's getting worse, folks. You have to wake up and see this, and you have to get a backbone and stand up for yourself and your children as far as who to vote for, God. I mean, what are the choices, Satan and Satan light? Actually, I don't even think we have a Satan light this time. We have two Satans. It's bad no matter which way you go. But we have to, you know, do whatever we can do to spread the word, to educate people, to have enough healthy people so that when it really hits the fan, at least some of us are going to be able to stand and do what has to be done. And, of course, I don't promote a revolution, but rather an evolution of consciousness. When the SWAT team comes to my door with their bird flu vaccine, I'm going to invite them in and show them, give them each a copy of the book, Horrors of Vaccination Exposed, a petition to stop vaccination in the Army and Navy, which you can get from Dr. True Ott, who had this book republished, and let them see the constitutional reasons why this blood assault is totally illegal. Hopefully a few of them, once they become educated as to what the real agenda is, will just say no, they're not going to force it as well.
I would rather talk about biology than politics, but I had an interesting experience with another call-in show, Dr. Carley. I had called in for the host and the guest to talk about American Dynasty. And as soon as I asked what the guest's opinion was, that Barack Obama was actually a sixth cousin or something similar to that, to Dick Cheney,
right.
I got hung up on.
Interesting.
So I thought that was a very important point to bring out to any listener on the topic of politics. And then John McCain, McCain in the original tongue means son of Cain, so as to imply, like True Ott teaches us, the Kenites or the sons of Sargon, which is the original Cain of Cain and Abel.
Exactly. Well, that's why I said we don't even have a state in light this time. And I don't like to talk about politics either, but, you know, as we're seeing all this garbage on television where they're telling us, you know, just get out the vote and all this kind of stuff, I don't think it's going to help us, folks. We've already seen what happened this past week, or actually last week with the quote-unquote bailout package. Millions of people were calling their representatives to just say no, and they did what they wanted anyway. So apparently these people are nothing but puppets, and that's what we have to realize. But, you know, money's one thing, your health is another. And when they start mandating that you must be vaccinated with the bird flu vaccine, I encourage all of you to go to YouTube.com and type in bird flu hoax and see Dr. Ott's outstanding video that he did on the coming bird flu vaccine, not to scare you, but to educate you and inform you of how bad it really is so that you will have the strength to just say no. Because what they have done with this, as a matter of fact, I have a homeopathy group that I go to once a month here in North Carolina, and we were talking last night, there's a lot of people that have heard, I haven't gotten verification of it yet, but that just the regular bird flu, just the regular flu vaccine this year actually has two versions of the bird flu in it. So I would just say no to all these injections, folks. And as I said, you have to learn how to detoxify yourself, take natural food, natural supplements. Many supplements are made by Big Pharma, so you have to know where you're getting things from. I do teach people how to reverse their problems, so if you want a consult, you can always call me. But you must educate yourself and to learn what the truth is, because this is no joke, what they are doing to people. And it's not just even a matter of becoming sick and dying. It's how you're going to go.
If we can get back to antibiotics for just one second.
Please do.
I was really struck by your descriptions of their symptoms and adverse effects. Drug fever is listed by the University of Michigan Medical Center as serum sickness.
Yes.
We're all the way back, full circle, to the similar actions of vaccines. We can never leave that single topic.
Exactly.
And then a really good friend of ours, Wendy Callahan, who runs VaccineTruth.org, she sent me some materials that said when your body is full of toxic metals like we find in vaccines, the mercury, the aluminum, everything they shoot us up with, that yeast actually grows to seek out the metal and try to actually pull it out of your body. She said that miners, when they're looking for mineral ores, will follow the mold trail.
Yes, I am aware of that, and that's why I always teach people how to detox their heavy metals first before we even go after the yeast, because they do love the yeast. So that's why detoxes have to be done in a certain order when people are filled with all this stuff. But everything that you mentioned is so important. And as I said, we learn about drug fever in medical school. They don't call it serum sickness, but the white coats never even consider that. When you get a fever while you're on antibiotics, they just think, oh, you have another bug, or, you know, that antibiotic, we're not giving a high enough dose. They just keep loading more and more on. It's unbelievable.
And then another topic that you brought up, because I'm going backwards in your topic,
mm-hmm.
was the lack of cultures that doctors do. And a culture, would a swab be able to be cultured for a viral plaque, or is that just for bacteria?
That's a very good question, but I hear the music. We'll be back after the break, and I'll answer that excellent question. Stay tuned. And we're back with the last segment of What's Ailing America, where our answer today has been antibiotic-created stealth organisms. We have our caller, Pat Jordan, on the line from Illinois. And I want to thank you so much for your contribution, Patrick. It's truly amazing, the research that you're doing. And when our book comes out, as I said, it's going to be the ultimate vaccine book that's going to open up lots of eyes. But you were asking me about viral cultures before the break. Now, of course, viruses are so small that the only way that you can see them is with something called electron microscopy, where the viruses are bombarded with electrons, and that's how they're able to be visualized through a very complicated technique. Now, of course, first of all, when they do that, they kill the viruses, and so they have to be very expert at the anatomy of the virus itself in order to properly identify it. As far as doing cultures for viruses, every test that I know of to diagnose pathogens, it either involves some kind of staining technique, which is especially, as I said, gram-positive, gram-negative bacteria, or involves production of antibodies against the certain pathogens that are activated. In other words, they can create antibodies by injecting these bugs into rabbits or whatever, and then they take the antibodies out of the experimental lab animals, and they use those antibodies when they combine it with a sample of your fluid tissue from your body, whatever it may be, and it causes something called agglutination or a different type of reaction that allows them to see it under the microscope. Now, of course, the problem that we're having with many of these viruses, as you were saying, is that they're intracellular. And once they're intracellular, they're not even going to be into your bloodstream anyways. They would actually have to take a tissue sample in order to do that. The bottom line is, I never hear of any pediatrician testing, doing a culture even for a bacteria. For example, if you have a child with an ear infection, you could swab their ear and do a test on that, and at least you'd know if it was a bacteria, because if it tests negative, then it must be a virus that's causing the infection. So you can make the determination by the process of elimination that it's not a bacteria. But in today's day and age, they almost never culture anyways. They just start giving out antibiotics. So that's the answer to the question.
And thank you for that answer. And therefore, as a person that's only driven by logic, my conclusion would be then that their purpose was never to determine what was wrong with the person. It was only to distribute something that would increase or prolong their illness.
Exactly, and keep them coming back and back and back. As a matter of fact, it cracks me up when they talk about, you know, that there's bird flu outbreaks in certain countries or whatever. Does anybody really believe that they're doing DNA testing on the germs from these people that are living out in the middle of nowhere in Asia, and that they're actually figuring out that this is, in fact, what this virus is? What a joke. No, they're just starting the fear-mongering going, so that when they get ready to introduce the bird flu vaccine, and I'm sure that that's going to be when a lot of other things are going to be happening. As a matter of fact, President Bush has already written an executive order. There will be no elections in November if we're in martial law, and a pandemic's a perfect excuse for doing that. Then they're going to come out with this story, Patrick Jordan in Illinois has bird flu, so the rest of the country has to be vaccinated. They got their 250 million doses already stockpiled. It's getting really interesting, folks, and that's why the information on this broadcast and others are so important for you to learn about what's going on. And once again, Patrick, I just have to take my hat off to you. You are one of the best researchers I've ever known, and that includes all my years in medical school and doing academic research when I was a surgeon. So thank you for your contribution. We'll be back next week, and keep up the good work, Patrick. All those emails you send me are outstanding.
Thank you, doctor.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.